Want to discover leading strategies, share experiences, and connect with fellow consultancy leaders from companies like EY, PwC, or Porsche Consulting? Then join us in Munich for the Leaders in Consulting Conference on the 27th of June, a one-day event exclusively for consultancy leaders like you. Places are limited, so head to leadersinconsulting.com to claim your ticket now. That's leadersinconsulting as one word, .com. See you there.
There are various reasons. I think one of the key reasons is the skill availability and the talent for at least two different reasons. One is just the amount of talent which we sometimes need. We are not able to deliver. And second, obviously, if we are talking about niche skills, which we cannot afford to really build up because the demand is not a constant demand, then that is obviously an area where we're looking for partners as well.
Welcome to the Leaders in Consulting podcast, the show that delivers cutting-edge insights from other leaders of consulting companies. This episode is part of a special series of interviews recorded in front of a live audience at the 2023 Leaders in Consulting Conference in Munich. If you want a summary of learnings from each podcast, or you want to meet other consulting leaders at our monthly in-person meetups, head to leadersinconsulting.com and subscribe to our newsletter. Please note, you must be a partner or managing director of a consulting company with at least 40 employees to be eligible to join our in-person meetups. That said, let's get started with the show. I'm your host, Sammy Gebele, former management consultant and CEO of Savu. We have Christoph Hagmann with us, partner and technology consulting lead Germany for EY. So welcome on stage, Christoph.
Thank you.
And to tell the audience a little bit about you, and you can stop me anytime if I get it wrong, what we talked about before a little bit. You've been, you're like a veteran, if I might say, in consulting. You have 20 years of experience at totally different companies. So Accenture, Booz, Infosys, PwC, and you've been with EY not that long. You started end of last year as a lead consulting lead, sozusagen technology consulting lead. And you focus on IT topics, obviously, and large transformation programs. And one of the most recent, most interesting ones was integrating Monsanto into Bayer, correct?
Yeah.
And but the private stuff, you can say what you do in your private time.
I started with COVID biking a little bit. I did not start biking. I did bike before, but with COVID, we started doing the Transalp. And since COVID, we did it 6 times with my son. He did it the first time when he was 12. And because I always received the question, no e-bike. E-bikes are just as a motivation when we pass them. But so we did it 6 times now, planning the 7th and 8th trip this year.
That's pretty cool. You prepare for something bigger in the mountain bike area.
Not sure yet.
12 years, Transalp, that's tough. Eh? Yeah. Cool. So, first question, because you worked at smaller and bigger consulting companies, and from my experience, I know, because I've seen some consulting companies from the inside, that maybe it's an ego thing, but some owners and MDs of consulting companies want to shoot for rates that the MBBs have. Yeah. So high rate equals like ego is up. But is it really something that you think from your experience is the best way to build a good and profitable company?
That's a very good question. And you mentioned the companies I have worked for. So I worked for strategy consulting. I worked for the low-cost company like Infosys. And there was clearly one lesson learned, that the rate itself does not really tell anything about the profitability. That's definitely one lesson learned. Of course, I was personally working for Booz at rates sometimes above 6,000 euros a day. Yes, you are proud about those rates. But when I worked for Infosys, our most profitable engagement, we had an average daily rate, not hourly rate, of 200 euros. And we made about a 50% margin. I know margin calculations are always different, but it was definitely much more profitable than all the projects I've seen at my strategy consulting time. And there was a multi-million engagement, double digit. So that was a very interesting lesson. And it's very simple. The background for that is, you have to have an industrialized machine in the background. So that engagement I was talking about at about 97-98% delivered from India, rolling machine. And that's why we were able to deliver such a nice margin. But for me, it was a very interesting lesson learned. And so you might ask why I ended up in EY or companies like PwC. Personally, that's the space which I like to work with, because it's below the strategy consultants, those high rates. It's above the very competitive rates in system integration. It's an area where clients normally buy you as a person because you are selling yourself with your skill set. And we normally come with a car to the client, not with a bus like Accenture or Infosys, or maybe two or five buses. It's not a product out of resources times price. So it's the personal relationship. And that is for me what makes consulting, having that personal relationship and therefore that kind of middle range of rates. Personally, I like it as a very attractive space, because it's just you as a are bought by the client.
Yeah. And because you're focused on this area and we have, a really big chunk of companies working, in the technology space. Where do you see the whole market evolving technology consulting wise in terms of, on the one hand, growth and on the other hand, maybe topics that you see coming?
You introduced me as a veteran, which means I'm old. So when I started 27 years ago, SAP was the biggest hot topic. I had a lot of discussions, how long will SAP survive? SAP is still there. It's, you know, the biggest bets for us still, the biggest growth areas for us. And we have a lot of people here working in the SAP space. They wouldn't be here if that would not be hot skill anymore. And I've seen that the same about 10 years ago. We had the first discussions around cloud migration and all that stuff. If someone would have told me we would still do data center transformations 10 years later, I would have probably thought, no, not in 10 years anymore. We'll still see basic work in that space. So I'm quite relaxed by now that many people talk about there's a hype about AI now. Everyone tells
you. Short question, who's played with ChatGPT? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So you can easily see that. So there are a lot of concerns. Do we still need, and I had the discussion just recently internally, do we still need all the staff in IT and technology consulting, or will they be replaced by whatever kind of AI solution? So having gone through those waves in the past, where people were questioning if this has a future, I'm still quite confident there is a great future. You just need to do a bike tour to Legada from here, and you go through a little village. In every little village, you see people looking for IT skills. You have those big billboards. They're looking for IT skills. And from that perspective, if someone can maybe not only spell IT, but knows a little bit about IT, I think the future is quite good. Looking from our company perspective, from EY, it's the biggest growth area. It's the area where you can also say the pressure is the highest in terms of what we need to deliver. The same has been in the past. I worked 10 years for PwC. It has been one of the most significant growth drivers over the past 10 years, with growth factors which we would normally only see in some of the startup companies, like 40, 50, 60% over the last 3 years, and not the normal 10, 12%.
On what base?
On a base of, if we look back into PwC or now also in EY, we are growing this year by 36%. We talk about triple million revenues and growing by 35 to 45%.
Yeah. I mean, that's a nice benchmark. So if your company is not growing as one of the big ones, you could do something better, because usually smaller ones are more agile and should be able to at least be par or outperform companies like EY. And that's just, congrats, yeah, on the one hand. But on the other hand, growing is also painful, I know.
But it's what makes fun in consulting. As long as you're growing, you can create careers. And that's what the people are looking for. And this is how we compete also with smaller companies. If you are not able to provide careers and development for the people, which is coming through the growth, then we would probably suffer to retain the talent.
Yeah. But you're not only competing against mid-sized or smaller consultancies, you're also working with or even buying ones. Let's cover maybe the first topic of, do you also cooperate and work with smaller or mid-sized consulting companies? And in what cases? And can you maybe give us one or two examples?
Yeah. Let me very briefly describe our ecosystem, how we partner. So obviously, we do have the big alliance partners like SAP, Microsoft, and so on. We do work on a case-by-case basis with a lot of big consultancies as well. One of our biggest subcontractors in Germany is, for example, Accenture, which is for many people unknown. But so those of you which are working in public space, there are a lot of those partnerships and so on. But so Accenture is one of our big subcontractors. On the other hand, where we don't have that structured approach in terms of partnering, we do have various approaches how we work together with companies. So it can start from a very opportunistic case-by-case relationship where we know someone who can help us. It obviously, there's a continuum. At the other side, we also acquiring companies and everything in between. So there are more structured partnerships where we have a regular exchange, where we do have a regular governance body and so on. So there is pretty much every kind of relationship which you can imagine on the continuum from first contact up to potential acquisition or joint business relationship.
And what are the reasons to work with someone else?
There are various reasons. I think one of the key reasons is the skill availability and the talent for at least two different reasons. One is just the amount of talent which we sometimes need. We are not able to deliver. And the second, obviously, if we are talking about niche skills, which we cannot afford to really build up because the demand is not a constant demand, then that is obviously an area where we're looking for partners as well. One example is if you know Predix as a solution, there's every 3 years we need some Predix skills. So it doesn't make sense for us to build a team with 10, 15 people. So we rather look for someone who can help us. Mm-hmm. The same is true in, as we just mentioned, ChatGPT, especially for new skills, which are not that mature, for example, where we don't know that will be a constant demand for. We are looking for partners.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us one, two examples of companies you work with and what you do with them?
Yes, for example, I've seen there is someone from Cassini here. So we're working together with Cassini, which is a small consultancy, or a mid-size. We, especially in the SAP space, we have a lot of partners ranging from some more well-known companies like CBS, PayPS, and so on. And that is what we have a lot, based on some relations out of the past, people leaving us, people get hired by us. And so there is a network and based on that, and that is definitely a key issue in many relationships. You don't have that relationship with the company. It's tough to build it up quickly. And so therefore we like to trust on those existing relationships, especially when you talk with smaller partners.
Mm-hmm. So let's assume, you don't have an existing relationship yet, but yes. Someone thinks that they could bring something to the table that you would be interested in. What would be the right way to approach you? And what would be the first steps of testing and maybe doing a proof of value project?
Yeah, there are two ways. First of all, we are trying to approach you as a company in many cases. So we screen, we go through lists, look at the market, and then we approach companies directly, primarily to extend our scope. If you want to approach us, it should be clear what is the value you bring to us. And I have talked to many, many companies, starting acquisition talks and everything. What is important for us is that we can create a kind of win-win solution, which sounds so easy, but obviously it's not. There are a lot of things when you talk to a small company of 20, 30 people, and we had it in the discussions before, they are used to be their own boss. They take their own decisions. They decide what clients they want to do. They don't know a lot about a process-driven organization. They don't know a lot about governance process in a company like us. You need to sort out those things. You need to have clarity. And sometimes, and that is maybe a message to some of the smaller consultancies which want to work with us, sometimes you need to forgive us that we are a little bit of pain in terms of processes, but we take it seriously on the other side. And that is sometimes a little challenge, but normally it's what you can bring to the table and it's a kind of a joint vision which we need to have.
So, my last question or opportunity for you, what kind of gaps do you have right now that someone could help with?
I mean, it sounds a bit stupid when I say almost everything, but it starts in cyber. It is SAP skills. It's data analytics skills. It's architecture skills. It's around cloud. It's almost every area we are consulting with where we do have a shortage. I mean, we are hiring significantly. We did grow by 40% in terms of talent the last year. We have the same plan for next year. We are pretty much looking for every kind of skills we can sell in IT consulting.
So I would assume that some people want to have a chat with you.
More than open to have that.
or Matthias, who's also here from EY. So now we have time for one or two questions. Anyone wants to ask something?
Don't ask me about multiples.
Multiples.
Yeah, that's the biggest pain for a consultancy like us.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you mentioned this morning multiples around 10, 15. I normally use one KPI when I look at an acquisition, that is the price per head I buy or I acquire.
Interesting.
And sometimes we talk about for an average person, an average kind of setup through all the ranks, consultant, manager, senior manager, I have seen prices about 600,000-800,000 euro what? Per person. And then obviously we need to make our calculation. We can somehow create a business case out of it. And that is actually quite a big challenge.
Yeah.
And all those skills are hot.
I understand.
But there's luckily a question. It's not that awkward.
You mentioned talent grows 40% in your team or EY all over?
In technology consulting.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many employees do we have in this space in Germany?
We right now have around 500. Slightly below, but growing to 500.
So that's challenging almost. And you will talk about it later, Philip. That's a big challenge for HR. Fill those ones. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious when we want to grow by 20%. At the same time, we have an attrition rate of probably somewhere 10, 15, 20%, depending on the rank. So we need to hire around 150, 200, which is when you do the math, at the end of next year, we probably have 400 from the remaining people, 200 new people. So it's 50%, which is new. Yeah.
I mean, the first step of selling a company is work with a strategic buyer. That's a way of making good money with your own company. Thanks a lot, Christoph.
Thank you.
That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter at leadersinconsulting.com to get key takeaways from this podcast delivered straight to your inbox, and to learn more about how you can join our community of consultancy leaders from around the world. You'd really make my day if you left us a review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify. And who knows, maybe we can meet each other at the next Leaders in Consulting monthly meetup. Until then, have a great rest of your week. Your host, Sammy.